Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, if you take a look at car adverts, you'll notice that they have something in common. Whether set in a city or some stunning outdoor area, the roads are always empty. Where are the other cars? Where are the traffic jams? Kieran Brennan of the Irish Environmental Network argues that this is part of the myth of cars we've all bought into, that they give us freedom, but he says they don't. Kieran, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Sean. Good to be on the show.
And so why do cars not give people freedom?
Well, I tell you what, I suppose motor manufacturers have been peddling this idea of freedom since they started making cars. And look, that's their job. That's what they got to do, as you say, miles of empty road. But I suppose the reality for a lot of people, especially people on their daily commute, is far different, Sean. You know, too often drivers find themselves stuck in traffic, nose to tail with other vehicles, stressed to the verge of road rage, you know, and that's not the image we see in the ads, you know, because basically it's an illusion they're selling us, you know. Roads are clogged, time is lost, streets blocked, you know, people's neighbourhoods being used as rat runs. And then we have, you know, the cost of motoring, whether it's servicing, buying the car, which immediately depreciates as soon as you drive out of the dealership. And I suppose the air is clogged with fumes and pollution and is contributing to climate change at a time when we should be rapidly kind of addressing these kind of issues. So I suppose, they peddle a myth, but they're not as free as they make themselves out to be.
Yeah, but sure, nobody thinks that. Nobody looks at an advert for a car and goes, gosh, I'll get one of them because the roads are all empty in that advert.
Yeah, but like, you know, these guys aren't making the ads for nothing, Sean. Advertising works, and we all know that. So obviously they're putting their best foot forward. But I suppose the argument is we've always, in this country, we have basically the second highest car dependency in the EU, and we have this overwhelming dominance of the private car as a mode of transport. And whenever we get roads clogged and get really busy, then we have this situation where let's build another road. Let's put another lane in. And I use the example of the M50. I remember when it was being built, it was going to be a four-lane highway that would make it easier to get around Dublin or traverse around Dublin without going in, take cars away from the city centre and provide easy access. It quickly became clogged up. It was blamed on the toll booths at the Strawberry Beds. They were removed and the electronic tolls put in. The congestion remained. They built two new lanes on each side into a six-lane highway, and the congestion remains. So I kind of attribute it to it's more like the Father Ted episode of, you know, it's ranting to be said for another mass, it's ranting to be said for another laneway or another road. And that seems to be our default function.
The thing is, I'm sure there are a lot of people now listening to this screaming at the radio going,
oh,
if there was a bus or a train, I'd get the bus or train.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going, they're all shouting at the radio, and I'm probably contributing to the road rage as we speak, Sean. Saying, what is that Egypt talking about? Does he not know there's no buses, no trains, and whatever? But what I argue is that's because of it's a policy choice by successive governments. Successive governments over the years have basically underinvested in public transport systems. An example is back in the turn of the century, we had a tram system in Dublin, and it was at the time, back in 1904, the system was described as the most impressive in the world, with other cities modelling their own tram systems after. When we got independence, not long, you know, within a few decades, our tram system was gone, was replaced, and basically we now find that our cities are clogged. And what we're doing is we're putting back in a Lewis, because it just shows the public transport works. And you could also argue it comes to also the rail system. When in 1920, Ireland had, I think it was, and I take this from John Gibbons' book. You had John on very recently on his book, Delight the Land. There was 5,600 kilometres of railways in Ireland in 1920. Today, there are 1,700 kilometres of rail line. So we've progressively downgraded and underinvested in public transport. And that's why basically people now find themselves kind of going, shouting at the radio, I would take public transport, but there is no public transport.
Yeah.
And that in there lies the problem in basically how we've treated public transport and how we've given, I suppose, real choice and real freedom, Sean, I would say, is giving people alternatives, giving people viable alternatives, giving people viable options. But we've continuously denied people that in saying that we're giving them freedom with cars. But we're not giving them a choice or a freedom to choose other means of transport. Or as we've done, we've kind of done it on a kind of, for want of a better word, maybe a tokenistic kind of basis or an ad hoc basis. I mean, I mentioned the Lewis there, which is a shining example of a system that works when it is in point place. And you could even argue things like Dublin Bikes. And before that, you had the DART when the rail line was electrified around Dublin, around the coastal area, that, you know, there were a lot of naysayers at the time saying, no, it wouldn't work. But they do work because people actually do use public transport when it's available. And I suppose I talk about, like, you know, government's failure to kind of invest. Like, that was the situation for decades, and until the previous government, when we had a kind of modest an agreement to put a modest 2-to-1 spending in favour of new public transport as opposed to roads. But the new government, in its programme for government, has been very silent on this whole 2-to-1 spending. And it looks like we're going back to the norm of just investing in roads rather than public transport.
Yeah. Now, the new government might be, as you said, they haven't said that much about it, and they might be reversing that position. But they might be able to argue, well, you know, that was a Green initiative when the Greens were in the last government, and we all know what happened to them. And so the plain people of Ireland don't want this for some strange reason.
You could argue that. I mean, I don't think it should be down to a Green initiative or any particular party initiative. It should be down to a people initiative and how you serve your people. The novelist Anna Husoff, now, I hope Anna forgives me if I'm mispronouncing her name, she had an article in the Journal as well just about how she took holidays in Ireland this year using public transport. And she was pointing out that, you know, about passengers on local link buses hit 100,000 a day last November, with 4.7 million journeys in 2024, which is an increase of almost 50%. So the demand is there. Like, when you open it up, people will use it. It's a bit of build it and they will come situation, Sean. Mm. And it just shows that when those, and I would call very, very modest increases in public transport, particularly in rural areas, you know, rural local link buses were provided for people, people would use them. People wanted them. People like to maybe be able to kind of get on the bus and go somewhere. And but what we need is, I keep arguing this, we need a little bit more vision and ambition. Like, you could argue that 20 or maybe certainly 30 or 40 years ago, we didn't have a motorway network in Ireland. Now we do, because that's because we decided to do that. We should also have the same kind of vision and ambition when it comes to public transport. You know, it can be done. The evidence is there that the public will use it. And then I'm sure a lot of people who are going, bumper to bumper on motorways in Ireland to get to places of work would say if there was a bus service there or a train service that would get it. You hear about constantly the people of Navan want to get a rail line to Dublin because they want it. They will use it.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, like, because you did mention rural Ireland, as things stands now, there are people, many, many people living in, it wouldn't say anyone from one end of the day to the other if they didn't have a car. And that are in areas that aren't serviced by buses at all.
Oh, and precisely, but you hit the nail on the head, they aren't serviced by buses at all. But as been pointed out, when Local Link on a modest basis was introduced or in rural areas, people use it. But we as I said, we need more vision. We need more of this. You're not going to have a rail line in every part of the country, but you can certainly put on local bus links to help people. And I'm looking at it. Not everybody's going to be able to use a bus or whatever, and it's not going to be a situation that every journey can be transferred into a bus journey, but it would certainly help ease the congestion, and maybe then the motorists and the motoring ads, maybe there will be that freedom then, Sean, to maybe drive into the sunset when there's less traffic on the roads. But as it is, public transport and active transport has been shown to work in Ireland, And, you know, any Irish person travelling abroad will see in places like Amsterdam, or you go to, you know, Paris or London or whatever, like the tubes and the metros are all used, and people use them on a daily basis.
The traffic in Paris is absolutely atrocious as well at the same time. That's always puzzled me. Kieran, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Kieran Brennan, their communications officer at the Irish Environmental Network. Someone says, I've just returned from Milan. Where all the public transport, trains, metro, buses are all have tap facilities. You just use your credit card or phone. I heard recently that Dublin bus won't have this facility for at least a few years. Yeah, that's kind of always puzzled me as well. Why can't they just switch to that system? I'd much rather take the car to work, to be honest. People sniffing, spluttering and coughing on the bus doesn't appeal to me. Brian says, my daughter is expecting our first grandchild. Knockline to the Coombe Hospital on public transport is an hour and 40 minutes. It's 25 minutes by car. And that's if the bus shows up. Fix public transport. And we'd use of it. Someone else says, it's simple. We have housing estates and we have industrial estates, and they're nowhere near each other. Build an outer ring road. Kieran probably wouldn't want to hear this solution. Build an outer ring road to join the M1 and the M2 and the M3 for a start. It would reduce traffic heading towards Dublin City, the port tunnel, and the airport. Eamon says, those of us living in the countryside need a car to get around. The utopian world that he would like to live in doesn't exist, so we rely on cars to get around. Public transport isn't an option for those of us living in the countryside. The nearest bus to me is 10 to 15 minute drive away on a 100 kilometre an hour road, so I wouldn't chance walking to it. I don't have the choice to not use a car. And quite a few people saying very similar things to that. Kieran is living in a delusion. Try and bring rubbish to the landfill. Get groceries from the supermarket. Go to the beach with a few children and all their stuff with public transport, says Kevin. Well, indeed. Now, in fairness to him, he didn't say if there was a decent bus service to every, you know, town and village in Ireland, that people would just use that and never use their car. Obviously, there are instances where you'd use your car, but maybe it would cut down on that. I'd love to rely on public transport instead of my car, says this texter, but I'm lucky if my bus turns up on time. And even if it does, I'm breathing into someone's armpit to get into the city centre. That seems to be a common complaint, that, you know, it's the proximity of other people. Maybe we should have little kind of shower machines whenever people get on the bus, just to hose them down. I get the train to work, but you're lucky to even get a seat most days. It feels like you're battling against all the other commuters. If working from home more frequently was an option, it would make my day so much better to avoid facing into that every morning. Again, it's a similar thing, because it's not even the proximity of people. It's the amount of people various forms of public transport can accommodate. In some parts of the country, mostly Dublin, we've better public transport, but it's not great. But even at that, it's not really fulfilling all the needs.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.